Luke chapter 7 this morning. This has been great looking in the Gospel of Luke. And so just as we come into chapter 7, this was irresistible. So we've been talking. So much about the Father's heart, and I just wanted to, for a few minutes this morning, to look again at another expression here. So my introductory notes, if you have your purple sheet with you, the kingdom glimpsed. Often for Jesus, teaching about the kingdom must have felt much like nailing jello to a tree. He would think he had driven the point home, only to have his disciples come up to him afterward to ask him what he meant. At times, he used parables, everyday scenarios that carried fuller significance, aimed especially at the disciples to provide insider info. But sometimes, to Jesus' amazement, routine delays and interruptions taught more naturally than any planned message. So let's take one example here this morning out of Luke chapter 7. So let's read the first 10 verses. This story of the centurion, which we're familiar with, but I want us to look at it in a slightly different way. Here this morning, of course, you could expect that. Okay, first 10 verses. When Jesus had finished saying all this that we've been looking at the last several weeks, in the hearing of all the people, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to this servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. So the first point here, the first blank, and number one is ask. To receive. In the first five verses, what's really going on here and what it leads to Jesus' total amazement is this man, this centurion, is a Roman. He's a Roman official. He's he's highly placed. He has a lot of men. Under him. And so, but here is Jesus, all of a sudden, is coming into the city of Capernaum, and these Jewish elders come to him. So here is the outward. Working of the kingdom happening by this Roman centurion who is then a Gentile, who is not a Jew, who is not typically one that would be accepted by the Jews. He is sending because he hears about Jesus, and because of his position, he sends to really convince Jesus. I mean, if you're a non-Jew, and you wanted to convince Jesus, a Jew, to come and help you with your servant, who was sick, the servant was likely a Jew. So what's the best thing to do? You send Jews to the Jewish teacher, religious Jews, because if you really want to make sure that you grab Jesus' heartstrings, send one of his own people, a religious, not necessarily a leader in the synagogue, but Jewish elders that this man knows, and he sends them to Jesus with this request. But forming the request from these Jewish leaders who loved the Roman centurion, because he loved Israel, and he, as we can see here in verse 4, he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So these Jews are excited because they have a Roman in their midst who loves Israel, which was really strange for the Romans. That was not usually their main reaction. And he helped them build the synagogue. So this man obviously was what Scripture refers to as a God-fearer, a Gentile but yet who had a respect for the Lord and wanted to promote that as much as possible. And so he sends the very people who are most likely to have Jesus' sympathy or to grab his compassion to say, here is this Roman centurion with a Jewish servant who is sick and about to die. Would you please come because he's Jewish and because these Jewish leaders are asking you, and so, and you'll remember when this whole thing about ask and you will receive, that Matthew, records Jesus saying, here is this Roman who is acting out a principle of the kingdom. He knows that you ask and you'll receive. There's power in the request. When someone asks you something, isn't it, it's kind of embarrassing. Sometimes to, and some of us have a real hard time saying no, because people ask and it's like, okay, I mean, it's within the realm of possibility that I would do this, or go here or help. And you know, I was following a pickup truck last week, and you've probably seen this bumper sticker. It said, yes, this is my truck. No, I will not help you move. You know, because if you have a pickup truck, you know, people are always asking you to move things. Or if you have a big white van, people are always asking you to tote people and help move things. And so, This was kind of one of those kind of situations. So, but when people ask us, we're a little embarrassed sometimes, because it's like, I really don't want to say yes. But I almost feel obliged now. I mean, these people came and asked me, there's power in that. And so, you know, when I call, you know, when I call and ask you for something, you know, you automatically say yes. Every time, without fail, because, well, I'm the pastor after all, and you can't say no to the pastor, right? So I usually have to set it all up, say, you know, I'm just asking. You can say no if you want. So anyway, this guy knows, and he's putting into practice what Jesus has been teaching at another time: ask and you'll receive. And see, he understands this principle, and Jesus is like, this is not even a Jew that's asking this. Here I am trying to preach. The reality of the kingdom, the generosity of my Father's heart, how much he delights to give good gifts to his children, and yet I'm finding faith in the part of a non-Jew that kind of blows me away. He's doing what I'm suggesting people do. Believe the Father has good things. Don't just treat it as a Sunday morning, you know, oh, that's good news, isn't that wonderful, and then walk away feeling like you've got to make it happen on your own. This guy knows that Jesus is able to do this, and if he can get Jesus' heart involved, Jesus will do it. And so he's putting into practice, ask and you'll receive. Number two, in verses 6 through 8, the two blanks there, under authority, and in authority. So under and in. The centurion says, to when he gives these men, sending them out in verses 6 through 8, he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I am not worthy, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. And then this is why he says this. I didn't consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word of my servant will be healed, for I myself. So what the Roman centurion is saying to Jesus, sending this message to Jesus, I also, like you, Jesus, I'm a man under authority. And so when I give the word, I know what it's like. I have people that I respond to who are higher up than me, than I am. And so I understand that. But at the same time, I am a man in authority, and I have servants, I have soldiers, I have others around me, under me, who do my bidding. Who, when I give them orders, they do it. In the like in the military, you're given orders. From a superior, you just do it. You don't question, you just do it. I mean, you may grumble under your breath, but you do it. And so what he's saying is, I understand where you're coming from. I understand that you have your father, and you're doing what your father does. It's all that's implied there, because he says, I myself, just like you, Jesus, I know what this is like, but I also know that I am in authority, and if I speak, my word is powerful, and it things happen when I speak. And so he says, you don't even need to come to my house. I believe Jesus. If you speak the word, my servant will be healed. You don't need to come. I don't even deserve, I'm unworthy that you would come. And I don't want to trouble you that much further. But if you would just say the word, I know my servant will be healed. And just an aside, Luke doesn't record Jesus even saying, your servant will be healed. He doesn't even say that. There's nothing listed here in this Luke's telling where Jesus even speaks anything about the healing of the servant. But this Roman centurion is just like the kingdom has its authority, the Father is the authority. Figure, and he gives us authority. We have authority in Jesus' name to come. Against threats and to come against illnesses and come against the things that are the typical things that we deal with. We have authority in Jesus' name. And here is this Roman centurion who is, again, amazing Jesus, because he's like, how is it that you have put this into practice from just how, we don't really know how much this man is actually heard Jesus teach, or whether he's just heard about what Jesus has taught, or if he's been one of the members of a crowd when he's been listening, when Jesus has been teaching. We don't know that much. The gospel is not telling us. That, but obviously he's a God-fearer, and he knows Jesus well enough to say, even if you don't come to my house, if you just speak the word, I know my servant will be healed. So this under authority and in authority, so we understand that God brings to us, wants us to have authority. He is the one who is the ultimate authority, and then he wants us to act in authority, not like those who have lost everything and who have nothing and are the most to be pitied, but we have authority, just as this Roman centurion does. And so he clearly spells it out. I say to one, go, and he goes, and the other one, come, and he comes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. It's just, of course he does it, because these are the orders, and I'm the one who's in charge here. So this authority structure understood by this Roman centurion is just an amazing thing to Jesus. And so number three is the Roman centurion wins gold. I'm calling it. He wins gold. When Jesus heard this message from these friends of the centurion who come to him, he was amazed at him. And then he turns to the crowd following him and he says, you know what? I have never even seen this kind of faith, even in Israel. I mean, I've come for my people, Israel. But I have never seen this kind of response of faith at that level, ever. And so he was amazed. He was just shocked. It's like, wow, this is where did that come from? And so this Roman centurion is embodying saying, what Jesus is trying to communicate about the kingdom that the disciples often and the crowds don't. Understand. They don't get what Jesus is trying to say. And here is this one who is out outside, who's not even yet really being directly addressed, who seems to have caught it, who understands that the kingdom is powerful and the kingdom works, and you put kingdom principles. The things Jesus talks about, and you put them into practice, and it's amazing what happens. So Jesus really means what he says, and when he says it's going to work, to our great amazement, also, it works. You know, we pray for healing, and we see healing happen. And we just about fall over in a faint. It's like, oh, God did it. And so we should be amazed. We shouldn't be amazed at these stories of conversions, these people on the verge of suicide. And they just open up Scripture, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit shows up, and these people. Are convicted in their hearts about the truth of what they're reading. This, it becomes not just words on paper, it becomes a word of life into their hearts, and the Holy Spirit communicates to them that's a miracle. And I mean, we're kind of all like, oh, every time you that. Every time you hear of someone in those kind of situations, that normally you say, well, that there's no hope. It'll never change. And then you hear these kind of interventions, this Bible and it makes me smile every time I'm in a hotel room. Just automatically I just go and I just make sure, I wonder if they're in this one. And you know what? I have never been in a hotel room yet that has not had a good vibe. So you guys are doing a great job. So, I mean, it's just an amazing thing how powerful the principle of the kingdom is. You know, as Jim was mentioning this morning, this of Isaiah, you know, I'm not going to permit that my word just goes out there and falls apart and goes void. No, it's going to go and it's going to have power and it's going to come back with fruit. And so this is the same thing that this centurion, this, again, I guess we have a hard time understanding for the Jews how hated the Romans were, and the more powerful you are and the more powerful your uniform was that indicated your rank, the more you were detested, because typically someone in that kind of a situation was probably hated because of the terrible things that they would do, the heart. The ruthlessness, the way they treated the Jews was usually really terrible. And so people would shun them. People would go as far as they could around to avoid any contact with these people because it was all always bad news. They were always the bad guys. And so here, this shining exception, and yet he is not just a shining exception to them, but he is also putting them to shame, because Jesus turns to the crowd and says, you know what, all you Jews, I have never once seen any of you respond with this kind of faith, with this kind of understanding of my Father's heart, that he's loving and he's generous and he's kind and his principles work. So in his amazement when he turned, what he's really saying to them is, this Roman centurion is the example to follow. Look how strong his faith is. He knows I don't even have to show up, and he knows his servant will be healed. And then just this little after mention in verse 10, Luke is good to at least put this in here. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Now, it's so understated the way Luke puts this, but if you'd been there on the spot and the servant was dying, and the guys just go back to the house, scripture says he wasn't even far from the house, maybe just down the street, they go back to the house, and now the servant's well. Not only just starting to recover, but he's well. I mean, it was an amazing thing. And the Roman centurion probably was able to explain to this one and for and to his household what had really happened here, the principle of the kingdom at work. So there was this glimpse of the kingdom that came through the most unexpected place. The disciples were there, and like this can't happen. This isn't the way it's supposed to work. Jesus is talking to us. Why is it's like this Roman centurion was preaching this word to them. Here's how you do it, guys. Jesus has come to show you how to do this. Ask and you'll receive. Recognize that you're under authority. And then you exercise the authority that has been given to you. And so Jesus is just only two places in Scripture. One, Jesus is amazed, Scripture says, at their unbelief. In Nazareth, and now he's amazed at the centurion's faith. And somewhere, the transaction happens through the Spirit where even without it being recorded, whatever Jesus did or said or thought, the servant was healed. The guys go back and find the servant well. So again, this little glimpse of what it is to believe what Jesus is saying. To understand what he's doing when he's teaching these, giving these parables, giving these stories, when he's just trying to explain who the Father is, what the Father's heart is. What is like, what this kingdom is like, and then from a completely out. Side perspective, they find out, wow, the kingdom works even when you're would seemingly be out. Side of it. So Jesus has given us this, and so just in the conclusion here this morning, is want to look at these last things I've written down at the bottom. The heart of the Father is playfully hidden like a child. Playing hide and seek, hiding, but in high hopes of being found, or like the perfect father saying with no false pride, yes, I'm all that, or like the province of Ontario, I'm yours to discover. The Father wants to. Discover. The Father wants the kingdom to be known. He displays it for us in all his glory, all his power, all the things we've sung this morning. If you're following through our Lenten devotional by N.T. Wright, today's reading is worth the price of the whole book. And if you can't afford the book, take one anyway. It's still okay to start today. But he's going through one of the Psalms this morning, and his comment on it are just amazing. So I think you'd really appreciate that. So there are a few copies left if you want to. That up. But that's what the kingdom is. That's what we've been invited into. That's what we've been asked to be a part of. That's what the Father invites us into, to live out some of these principles, to show people what it's like to ask and receive. To understand this position of authority and to exercise our authority instead of just saying, oh, well, I can't do anything about this. I guess I should just hide my head. No, let's take authority. Let's move forward. Let's be bold, as the Father says, and come into his presence. So this as we make our way through Lent here in just a few weeks. It's going to be Easter. This opportunity for us to see again and afresh the purpose of the Father and sending Jesus to expose the kingdom, expose the Father's heart, to show us through the example that Jesus lived, how the kingdom works, and what the main purpose of the Father is. For us, these are exciting weeks as we come up to the East in this Easter season. So, the Father is speaking to us this morning. I think the Father wants us to understand His heart is open to us and receiving us, and just like. The Roman centurion, by his simple example of faith, just lived out without any fanfare. I mean, typically that's what they would go for. He wasn't even doing that. He chose not to come. He just said, you know, I'll take the humble position. I'll just send someone else to do the ask, and I think Jesus is, he's too much to even come into my house. So just even if he doesn't come, he can still heal my servant. That kind of faith, that kind of understanding of authority. Is powerful for us. So let's, as we finish up this morning, just understanding this glimpse into the kingdom, this power that is ours, this the joy and the amazement on Jesus' face. I think he was so delighted to see this example. It's like, I think it was almost like, I wish I'd thought of that. I wish that was an example I'd come up with, but here, all of a sudden, there's this, just what would have been normal, a normal delay or an interruption, turned into a great teaching moment, and Jesus took advantage of that and spoke to the crowds. Let's pray together. Father, again, we are grateful. We thank you for exposing the Father's heart to us, showing us who he is, showing us his generosity, this amazing heart. You love us. You call us to yourself. You've given us life. Father, help us to understand that your word, that what you teach us of your kingdom is applicable for today. That we can live this out. And we can be like the Roman centurion. We can be examples of faith because we trust what your word says. We take you at your word. And we believe you have good gifts for us. And we believe you respond. To our circumstances. Thank you for speaking through your word here this morning, Father. And we'll bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to also, I guess Angela just had to go out. Some of the ladies could pray with Angela. She's got a sleep study tonight that she's going to. I think she's probably a little concerned about that. So we want to pray that there be no sleep apnea and all that. So I said we would definitely pray with her. This morning. That we can be dismissed and... God bless you. And then we need to get a basket out for...